Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Danielle McCartney. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Good morning, New York sports fans. I'm Danielle McCartney. McCartney After Midnight. I'll be talking all things New York sports with you till 6 a.m. on this early Sunday morning or late Saturday night if you're still out and about in the city that never sleeps and there are a ton of people out. Or maybe you're just working on a weekend like usual. Me and Nick are too, and we are coming to you live from the Carton and Roberts studio here in Lower Manhattan. You guys know the number, 877-337-6666. And please, let's load them up with your best content only. Got a lot of great guests. I got a great guest lined up for you tonight at 4:40. I've got longtime New York Yankee beat reporter for MLB.com and author of his new book, The Bronx Zoom, Brian Hoke, will be on with us. So 4:40, Yankee fans, set your alarms. Hopefully you're not falling asleep between now and then, but if you doze off, 4:40 is when he'll be on. And it's still, I guess, technically an Islanders and a Nets playoff weekend as well as Father's Day weekend, everybody. Game 7 are two words that make up the single most exciting phrase across all of sports. It's do or die, win or go home, or all or nothing at all. And unfortunately for the Nets, coming up short in Game 7 leaves them with nothing at all. This epic Game 7 had 10 ties and 20 lead changes in regulation. The Milwaukee Bucks, unfortunately for all of us here in New York, came away with a 115, really 113, 111 overtime victory at the Barclays Center. The game was a pick'em game in the eyes of the odds makers, and I knew it was going to be headed for overtime. If you don't believe me, I'll have to get my mom to call in and vouch for me on this, because I did tell her, watch, this game's going to go into overtime. Sure enough, it did. Kevin Durant, as the time was expiring at the end of regulation, hit what looked to be a three-pointer at first glance on TV. It looked to be the game winner. I know I thought it was. Immediately, OMG KD began trending on the entire United States on Twitter. The shot sent the Barclays Center into a frenzy. Eli Manning and Aaron Judge, too, I'm sure. People in their houses woke up their neighbors, and their dogs in my case, when they screamed with glee when Durant ended up tying it up. The Slim Reaper struck again. Basketball, too, it turns out, is a game of inches. Upon further review, really only one replay was needed, and with his toe on the line, Durant's improbable shot only tied the game instead of won it. And so, to overtime, we all went. As I expected. The Bucks hit their first basket with 1:11 remaining in the five-minute overtime period. That is, almost 80% of the overtime period had expired before they scored a single point. Kevin Durant on what turned out to be the Nets' second-to-last shot of the game came up short on a fairly close jump shot. And in my notes, I had written down, not a good shot selection, no legs, lots of traffic. If I knew it, Durant definitely knew it. So my essential question now is, why did Durant, with time expiring, knowing his legs were out of juice, opt for a game-winning three-pointer after the poor closer shot that he just took instead of driving to the hoop to try to send it into a second overtime. I guess that's the effect that 53 minutes of playing time has on the brain. Durant clearly wanted to just try and end it. You saw the instant in which he made that decision right there on live TV. But with his exhausted body, he could do no better than airball what would have only been just a two-pointer anyway. Remember, game of inches. We have already determined that. And so the Bucks will advance. So Kevin Durant, what is his legacy here in New York? I'm not sure that's a really fair question, really, because with Kyrie Irving sidelined with an ankle and with James Harden playing the entire series literally on one leg, you know, in the games that he did play, it does not allow us to assess Kevin Durant fairly. I mean, in terms of winning, because the guy put up the most points in a game seven ever in the history of basketball just a few hours ago. And if this team was at full strength, meaning those two guys that I just mentioned were playing beside Kevin Durant at full strength or close to it as you can be at this point in the season, this series would have been over long ago. There's only so much a single player could do when his cast of supporting characters does not live up to top billing. Case in point, of the two bench players that saw time for Brooklyn, limited time, Shamet and Green, neither of them shot the ball once, not one single time. The two bench players that Steve Nash brought in did not shoot the ball. Yes, great players exceed expectations. They transcend all obstacles, and they take over the game. In my eyes, Durant did that. But there was only so much he could do against the Bucks' three-headed monster in Antetokounmpo, Middleton, and Holiday. I guess the one good thing about this series was this. Who says home court doesn't matter? Every single person in the Barclays Center, well, except for the Bucks, were counting off the seconds that Giannis takes for his free throws, including the Nets bench. That is much more effective than the Knicks fans chanting, F. Trae Young. It's funnier, too. The refs never did pick up that whistle, and it affected Giannis early on. And again down the stretch when he appeared gassed, he airballed another free throw, much to the crowd's delight. How a 6'11 man airballs multiple free throws in a game seven in the playoffs is beyond me. So I've invited on the program tonight Evan Roberts, through Big Zoo earlier on Saturday. And I personally invited CC Sabathia, more on that in a little bit. But I invited both of them, one way or another, to give us a call tonight and react to the game. So I do hope, we hope, that one or both of them does join us tonight. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow. Everywhere I go, catch me on the block like a Mutombo. So with the Islanders taking the 3-0 lead, in the third period, it looked like it was going to be a runaway game for the home team. Not so fast, responded Braden Point and Tyler Johnson. All of a sudden, the momentum was completely with Tampa Bay, and the Islanders were hanging on to a one-goal lead for most of the third period. That, of course, was until Ryan Pulock, like Dikembe Mutombo, blocked the game-tying spin-around shot attempt by Ryan McDonagh as time expired. Wow, like Post Malone. Wow, because of the brilliant, fantastic save he made. And also wow, because the Islanders were operating, at that point, pretty much without a goaltender. Varlamov was seemingly miles away and incapacitated. The Islanders skated by with a close one. But a win is a win, and now they're going to send the series tied at 2-2 back to Tampa for Game 5 on Monday night. My Tampa Bay Lightning cousin, fan, not player, but he's a fan of the team. He texted me after the game and he said, there's a quote from him, "I still have full confidence in the Bolts. We shall see." And Matt Martin scored what turned out to be the game-winning goal on Gunner's wedding night. So congratulations to the entire Esiason family tonight.
one of the good ones. He's one of the good ones.
So maybe you guys did not want to give James Dolan any credit, and that's Gabby Barrett, one of the good ones. But something happened to James Dolan and the team around him, because he picked one of the good ones to fill the Rangers head coaching vacancy. Within the past 11 months, he and his team have made two excellent hires for head coach of his two teams. However, the New York Post was reporting that Gerard Gallant didn't even meet with Dolan prior to the hiring. In any event, I called the Tom Thibodeau hire, if you listened to my program when it happened, a grand slam right off the bat. If the results of the Knicks season were not enough to justify my sentiment, the NBA, like last week, named him as coach of the year. He was definitely and obviously my choice, too. And this past week, the Rangers formally announced that Gerard Gallant will become the 36th coach in the history of one of the original six hockey teams. The Rangers, as you know, played their inaugural season in 1926. What I like about Gerard Gallant, there's three things. One, you guys already know that I love the coaches that work their way systematically up the ladder. Like Thibodeau, Gallant is one of those guys. He started as a player, drafted by the Detroit Red Wings, then as a junior hockey coach, then as assistant in a few different places, and finally, as a head coach in the NHL. I feel like those guys, the ones that have, you know, just done it all, seen it all, especially with playing experience, are most respected by players. And they also know the most, too, based on their experiences. And number two, like Tom Thibodeau, this guy knows how to win. He's got a career coaching record of over 500 for more than 500 games. He's only 57 years old. With Vegas for three seasons, he was 118, 75, and 20. Now, I know that they had their own little draft to make that team, but there is no doubt that Gallant did not have a say in that. Of course he did. That tells me that he also knows how to step in and help in assembling and formulating a winning team. Because in that first season, the season that I went to the game with my friends in Vegas in, Gallant took them all the way to the Stanley Cup Final, where they eventually lost to the Capitals. But still, that season, Gallant won the Jack Adams Award as NHL Coach of the Year. Also, it doesn't seem to matter what country he's in, because he still wins even in Canada. He took that team to an international championship and won a gold medal with them this season in 2021. And considering that the Rangers have playoff ideals, Gallant is 18-15 in his 33 playoff appearances. The Rangers, on the other hand, haven't seen a playoff game for four straight seasons. And finally, number three, like Tom Thibodeau, players play for this guy. I know he might be public enemy number one around here as of recent, but Tampa Bay Lightning coach John Cooper said of Gallant, there's nothing he asks his players to do that he would not have done himself, which I also subscribe to that mentality. He demands from his players, but he delivers a message that you really want to go out there and play for him. There's a reason that teams he coaches win, because he gets the plan, he puts it in place, and communicates it, and then drives the guys. That's all from the Lightning coach, John Cooper. Also, Gallant is not afraid to sit guys, regardless of the name on the back of their jerseys. And to me, those are the three outstanding qualities that I know I would be looking for in a head coach of my team. The Rangers got a good one, everyone. But, so all the information is laid out there. As you know, I have many contacts out there in Vegas, so here's what they told me when I had asked about Gallant. One of them said, he's a good get, old school dude, players love him. The one concern, he needs to dial it down versus the media. He got testy with Las Vegas folks a few too many times. Another one said, he's super solid as a coach. Should have never been fired in Vegas. I'm sure he'll do great there in New York. And from a third person, he said, he's a player's coach. He has an aggressive and attacking style on offense, fun system, builds his players up psychologically. However, it doesn't last forever. It's like Billy Martin. Initially, it works great, but it wears people out, and he won't take any outside help from the GM, like advice and strategy when things go bad. After the Blue Jays series, Giancarlo Stanton said, "It's time we got to step up and start punching back. That's what we've been doing. One or two series ain't gonna cut it. We've just got to keep rolling." And while the Yankees are still playing 500 ball for this past calendar week, since the last time we've talked, they were able to leapfrog the Blue Jays in their ascension, their slow ascension, which needs to be more of a sprint now, up the AL East standings. Thanks in large part due to the Yankees sweep in Buffalo this week.
Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.
What I liked about Saturday's Yankee game were three things: the offensive balance, the resolve of the team, and the fiery manager. One, the balance. Saturday's game was not the live or die by the home run team that has competed on a day in and day out basis. Sure, there were home runs. Sanchez's solo shot to left field in the sixth and Urshela's solo bomb to Monument Park. But more importantly, in the scorebook, you saw the words RBI single next to Urshela's name in the fourth inning, RBI single next to Aaron Judge's name in the seventh, and RBI single next to Giancarlo Stanton's name. And also in the seventh, post-game, Boone called them two very big at-bats. And finally, RBI single next to DJ LeMahieu's name in the eighth. The shift in mentality at the plate was apparent, at least for Saturday. And that's what I like. That's the brand of baseball that this team needs to continue to play. That is the brand of baseball that wins most championships. The resolve I also loved. They were down 4-1 when they came to bat in the sixth inning, and they showed the resolve and the determination to chip away at the A's lead. They scored one in the sixth, two in the seventh, and then three in the eighth. And third, their fiery manager, Aaron Boone. When the home plate umpire missed two straight ball strike calls, Aaron Boone was tossed. A testy, fiery Boone is exactly what needs to happen to ignite this team. This lackadaisical attitude has got to go, which we've talked about this for how many weeks on here? Saturday, it went, and I loved it. The Yankee Stadium crowd also loved it because Aaron Boone walked off the field to a standing ovation from the remaining fans in attendance, and it was well-deserved. He's a hazard to himself. This Jacob deGrom injury thing is a case of saving the player from himself. As Pink says, don't let me get me. And the Mets should be paying attention and intervening appropriately. This is a story of then and now. Then, Mike Puma, on May 26th, about a month ago, tweeted, Jacob deGrom says he is pretty sure his injury was a result of his swing in his previous start against Arizona. My quote tweet of that said, imagine still wanting pitchers to hit after hearing this news. You guys, enough with the pitchers hitting. Luckily, DeGrom only missed one start after that. But my question to you, if you're scowling at your radio right now, is what if this happened in the postseason or the World Series where that one start would matter? And guess what? Right after it happened, in the very next game, Taijuan Walker did not even swing his bat at all. Now, that's the story of now. Jacob deGrom is saying that he aggravated the shoulder during an at-bat on Wednesday on a swing and miss, right before his RBI single. DeGrom is, at this moment, expected in Monday's lineup. He said, I guess I will have to take, and that he'll be allowed to bunt. That's it. As if there's less of an injury with bunting. I watched a teammate of mine break her nose, blood gushing all over, when the ball spun backwards off of her bat on a bunt attempt. How is that better baseball? Sure, I know Jacob deGrom is batting .423, but what's more important to you, his batting average or the fact that he is far and away the best pitcher in baseball? For me, the Mets could sit deGrom for his next start or two. It's not that hard. They can afford to do it. They've got a sizable, comfortable lead in the NL East. And it's One injury one week, another injury the next week. Just shut it down for now. You are not winning the World Series in June. And his latest comments of, after going through and getting images on it, seeing the spot that it was in and how it's responded the past couple of days, I decided to try to proceed as normal. Yet, I'm looking at it right now. There is still no pitcher listed for Monday's game. So we shall see. But the right thing to do is shut him down for a start or maybe two. Oh, and did you guys see who the hero of game one of Saturday's doubleheader was? Francisco Lindor. 3-for-4, 2 runs scored, 5 RBIs. He accounted for every single one of the Mets runs. Again, I told you so.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.